Hi guys, I'm your host Esteban Tovar, and I just wanted to quickly introduce Cas Marte. He has a very interesting story where he, at a young age, he was selling drugs. He became a millionaire through it, and he was arrested after a few years, went to prison, and then he created a workout system using your body in prison to lose weight. And when he came out of prison, he started the company Conbody, which has been pretty successful, and it hires former incarcerated inmates. So Cas Marte's story is very interesting, and it's very inspirational.
Thanks for being on this episode, Evolved Healing.
No, thanks for having me.
I saw your BuzzFeed video like 3 years ago. Yeah, and it was cool because I know that you started selling drugs at the age of 13. And then by the age of 19, you were making $2 million a year.
Sure.
And then at the age of 23, you were sent to prison, and then you served 7 years.
Yeah.
And then you were in solitary confinement a little bit before you were supposed to get out. And it was pretty cool because you had like a spiritual awakening.
Absolutely.
So what can you tell me a little bit more about that and how any details you want to fill in?
I mean, so that what happened to me in that cell, and you heard most of it in the BuzzFeed video, but it was something that I really can't explain, and the feeling that I got, and it was like chills and like, I don't know, it was like a blanket over me for a second. Yeah. And so when I went into solitary for an altercation with an officer. And when I was in this place, this officer basically threw me in there in like 24-hour lockdown, and I'm like stressed out of my mind because I was supposed to be released in 2 months through this like early release program, and my son was waiting for me, my family was waiting, you know, for me to come home. I just told them, everybody expected me to be home in 2 months, and that didn't happen. I didn't go home, and I ended up staying in solitary, stressing myself out. I didn't know what to do. I had no way of communicating with anybody until this officer came to my door and passed me a paper, pen, and an envelope. And he brought that's your rights. You're supposed to have paper, pen, and an envelope, to write letters. And so I get that, and the door, the slot door opens where they feed you the food from, and he passes me it, and I grab it, and I was so excited for just that 1 second. I was like, all right, I'm going to write a letter to my family, explain them the situation. I'm going to try to get a lawyer and get out of this place in 2 months. And I felt hope, and so I wrote the whole letter out, explaining the whole thing, and realized I had no stamp to send out the letter with. And so I lost hope, mm-hmm. but like nobody was there. I had no way to communicate. I had no way to help, receive help. And so it was not until like 2 or 3 days later, my sister, who's like very religious, writes me and tells me to read Psalm 91 from the Bible. And in my whole prison sentence, never opened up the Bible. It was just used as like an address book, so like anybody that was coming out of the prison, I would take their name and their number, and I still have the Bible with like everybody's contact information. But that was the only reason why I would like hold the Bible, because the Bible is, and any religious item is the only thing that follows you throughout your whole prison sentence. And so I when she wrote me that letter, I was like, hell no, I'm not reading the Bible. Like, I'm not, what I read, thought about was I need a lawyer. I need somebody to help me get out of the situation. And I didn't believe in God. I didn't, it was not until a couple of days later, just sitting there out of boredom, when I decided to pick up the Bible and I searched pages for Psalm 91. And I read Psalm 91, which states, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my shelter and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And as soon as I read those words, it stamped out of my Bible. And I felt like it was something that came upon me that day, and other weird things happened to me that day. And like I had like a sort of like an outer body experience when I went to sleep. And every time I opened up the Bible, I felt like, you know, like 70 degrees. Because I was in a cell which was like over 100 degrees, and I was sweating, and there's no AC, no fan. There was no way, like I had problems breathing in there, and so I was suffocating. But every time I opened up the Bible, I felt like this whole calm, this whole like refreshness. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Well, that's so cool. I remember reading this, you know, hearing you speak on the video. And this was about 3 years ago when I saw it, and I thought I was going like through my own spiritual awakening. So to see that, it was pretty cool. And I just started like the podcast, and I didn't have a podcast back then. And recently, I said, okay, I'm going to have to interview this guy for the podcast, because I remember that that video. Yeah, and I got chills like just hearing you speak about it, and hearing the staff. Come out from the Bible, just fall out. And so, yeah, I felt like it was just something that kind of just happened for you in a way. Like it was, like you were helped out in a way.
Absolutely.
By spirit or the universe. Or,
yeah, something. Something.
Yeah, something, yeah.
I read the Bible from front to back. And like I just had the time. I was in 24-hour lockdown. I had nothing else but the Bible, so I just kept reading it, and you know, turning back pages and reviewing things, and I just you know, after reading the whole thing, I was like started reflecting on some with myself and saying like, look, I need to wake up. I need to stop, you know, all the stuff that I was doing in my life and affecting. Not only myself, but my family and the people I sold drugs to, and their family members who have been affected by my action as well. So I like felt so much regret, and I prayed and I said, God, like, how can I give back? How can I give back for all the wrongdoings I've done in my life? And the idea of Calm Body just came above, and like. You know, like working out was my passion, and that's what I loved doing when I was in the yard. And then I started, you know, building that camaraderie and help, you know, 20 inmates, a little bit over 20 inmates, lose over 1,000 pounds combined. And I said, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do when I came home. And that became like my give back for all the wrongdoing that I've done. I mean, today is been blowing up. I've been blessed to, you know, do a whole lap around the world and share my story. And that's something that when I was in that cell, I would imagine myself like, I don't know, I would imagine the globe, you know, and like imagine that I was, you know, impacting the whole world in some sort of way. And it's been a crazy, crazy journey that, you know, to see that reality.
After you got out of prison, how long did it take for you to start Calm Body? I know you started like in the parks at first, and then you had a studio about 2 years later.
Yeah, I started right in the park. So I started right away. I started like, I came home, you know, I had the best food ever because I didn't eat like real good food, you know, for a long time, and my mom cooked and it was a good feast, and I got to spend time with my family. But the next morning, I woke up, you know, and went right to the park, doing the same thing, and just started there, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I remember you changed your like your market, your target demographic, from people who looked like they were selling drugs to women in yoga pants.
Yeah, so I basically, like, used the same, like, tactics I was using while I was selling drugs, because back in the day, I started a whole delivery service with using, like, business cards going up to random people that I thought that were using drugs. And it worked, and it blew up, and I made a lot of money and lost a lot of money. And it became the same mentality. It was like, just go up to somebody and speak to them and not be scared and just approach it and, like, go after it. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. And I also know that you hire, like, mostly former incarcerated inmates. Is there a reason for that? I know that it's difficult for them. You mentioned that it's difficult for people who get out of prison for them to find jobs. They usually get rejected instantly.
Yeah. I mean, I felt the pain when I came home, you know, and I started this business, like, as soon as I came out the door, but it was, you know, it took a long time before I made any real money off of it. And so, I started knocking on doors, went to, like, every retail shop in Midtown, and there's where, like, Times Square is at and all that stuff, and I was being rejected. You know, I was being told that they're going to give me a call back, and I'm waiting and never received a phone call back. Until I did, you know, basically create my own, you know, business out of desperation, basically, and had to make it work because nobody wanted to give me that opportunity. But I felt the pain of, you know, going door after door after door after door and, like, being told, yeah, 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 and, like, being lied to, basically. And then the reality was, you know, people were facing the same thing. People with the same background was facing the same exact thing as I was. So that became my mission. You know, it was like all my friends who were locked up was telling me, yo, can you hire me, blah, 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 and that's what it was, you know, and most of the people that I knew and the most people that I really hung out with are the people that have been convicted of criminal histories.
I work out, like, a little bit. I started around 19, and I don't do a lot of weightlifting so much, and
yeah.
I have thought about going to Conbody to try it out, but I always feel like it's a little bit more intimidated. Like, a little bit more intimidating for me. I don't know why.
Are you in New York?
Yeah, New York.
Okay. What part of New York?
Queens.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you gotta come.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'll definitely try it. So, what would you say to people who are maybe they might feel a little bit intimidated to go, or they don't know, really know what to expect?
I usually tell people that you basically try to keep up with the trainer. So you set your own pace. We're going to push you to a different level. But it's made for anyone because you're only using your body weight. It's not easy. But my mom, who's 64 years old, is doing that 4 times a week. So she could do it. You know, you better do it.
Yeah, right. All right, then. How many locations do you have? I think you had one on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, so we closed that down. That was just a pop up.
Okay.
We had that. We had that for 6 months, and then we reopened for another, like, 6 months or so, in the Lord and Sailor building. But they sold the building, so we moved out of there. So right now we only have that one location on the Lower East Side. And we're working on opening up another spot in London now.
Oh, cool.
Towards the end of spring.
Is London, like, the first one, and then are you planning all over the world?
Yeah, first one out of the country, first one out of the U.S.
Oh, that's so cool. What's, like, the difference between doing one in New York and then doing one in London?
We're going to be in we're going to have a partnership with this hotel group. So we're opening up and designing the space, like, the Conbody and the Lower East Side. So it's a little bit, like, more bougier. but, yeah, I mean, it's the same workout, same, you know, feeling, same, you know, vibe. So that's what we're doing.
I know you have a book, Conbody.
Yep.
I read there's, like, a prison burrito that you made there. What, I mean, do you still try it out and eat it? I know you mentioned that you don't eat it as much because it's not very healthy.
Yeah, no, I did eat it. The last time I ate it, I think, might have been like 6 months ago or so. Because somebody wanted me to show them how to make it. So that's the only reason why I made it. But I'm not really, like, open to, you know, making it at home as much and, like, eating it. Yeah, just because sodium levels is just so high in those, like, packet content. But, I mean, it does taste good, and that was, like, one of the only options that you had to really feel like you're outside, you know, instead of, like, eating the regular prison food. When you go down the chow line, you make a prison burrito in your cell, and you feel like, I don't know, it's something that you feel like you made, and it tastes good, you know. Today we're actually doing a show on Snapchat.
Oh, cool.
Where we're getting like tons of views too. So it's called Prison Hacks. So we're showing like hacks of what we did in the system in terms of, you know, how to make a tattoo gun out of a CD player, how we made prison cheesecake with no cheese. You know, how females in prison did their makeup before they went into the visit with no real makeup, you know, so things like that.
How do you make the gun, the tattoo gun?
You got to watch the show, man.
All right.
Prison Hacks on Snapchat, so you can see it on the Discover there.
You always seem like a natural businessman. Like you started a business at the age of 13, pretty, I would say. And then now you have a business with Calm Body. How do you learn about just creating a business? And was it just something that you kind of just picked up along the way, or was it something that you already knew how to do?
I mean, I didn't know how to, like, operate. Well, I knew how to operate a business, but I didn't know how to do a legal business legally. And so when I came home, I was basically just doing it in the park. I'm taking, you know, money through, like, Cash Apps or cash, and that's how I operated until I got into a program called the Five Ventures, where I received my MBA, my MBA Baylor University certificate, and so I did that and developed a business plan, you know, did all the tax stuff, you know, actually developed an actual corporation afterwards, you know, and so that's I came home and I did operate the business like right away, but it was not like legally done. And so I went to the program and started doing it properly. But that's where I learned a lot. The hustle never stopped. I mean, as a kid, you know, I would steal baseball cards from the store and sell them at school, or, you know, like, I would go into knocking everybody. I remember, like, knocking as a kid on everybody's apartment in my building and, like, collecting the cans and changing up the nickels downstairs in the bodega, you know, and that's what I was doing.
Yeah, you're right. It's just about just hustling and going through with it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. I mean, I still face barriers and still, like, a lot of obstacles, but it's just basically showing up every day and delivering. That's all it takes. You know, it's not easy. That's the number one thing, is just showing up.
What were some things that you learned? One thing I feel like is, like, as you grow the business, you kind of just grow yourself as a person, and so you have to, like, get rid of, like, a lot of negative beliefs or resistance, or it kind of just changes the way you are, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you know, I learned a lot of stuff along the way, in terms of the people that I'm helping coming out of the prison system and employing them. Like, you know, some of them have shelter issues. Some of them have, you know, financial issues in their back end, and they have to fix their credit and stuff like that. Or, you know, simple parole issues, you know. And for me, it's not, like, Calm Body is not, like, just a regular old business. Like, we're going above and beyond and, like, helping people with, you know, their personal issues, and there's a whole holistic approach around it. But I mean, I learned, you know, how to pay my taxes. I learned how to, you know, communicate with different other people. And, yeah, I mean, operating a business and dealing with people is the same thing from the streets to what I'm doing now. But, yeah, I think the number one difference is basically taxes and doing more paperwork. And now, like, businesses can't operate without a computer or a touchscreen. So back then I was only operating on a flip phone and like marble notebooks and like jotting and taking notes. And so now it's building spreadsheets and doing a whole bunch of other stuff and running ads as well. And, you know, creating videos and now social media, like none of this existed when I was hustling in the streets. And I mean, I got locked up when, you know, MySpace existed, and then came home and it was like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, like all it was, and then touchscreen phones. It was just a whole new world, you know.
So I know you did a tech talk. How was that?
So I've done three tech talks now. The first one, I was extremely nervous. And so I basically got that opportunity to do a tech talk a year out of the prison system. So I've never spoken to like a huge crowd. There was like maybe 1,500 to 1,000 people there. And I was actually the last speaker because they do a lot of speakers that day. And so I was the last speaker, and some people are like falling asleep, and it was like an older demographic of individuals. I did it in Hudson, New York. And I remember when I got on stage and they hook you up with a TED Talk coach. This person was, you know, made me write down my speech, and I had to practice and memorize, and it was like a 6-month process. And so I get on stage, and I went to go deliver my TED Talk, and as I started, this lady just like had went back and fell asleep on me, and like nodded out, and like I just stared at her for like 2 seconds, and like everything just blanked out, and I was like, fuck. And then I looked away and like just took a deep breath and like went back at it, and like everything just came to me. But yeah, it was extremely nerve-wracking.
At least you came back from it.
Yeah,
that can make you kind of nervous with someone just like nodding off.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like, what is it?
It was like right at the beginning. It was like maybe 10, 20 seconds in.
Yeah, that can put a lot of pressure on you.
Absolutely.
How's your life now compared to, you know, after you got out of prison and you started this business and you decided to help others and give back, compared to when you were before you were arrested at the age of 23?
I would say life is good. You know, I mean, it's still not easy. I'm working like crazy. You know, I'm up at 5 a.m. And then not really going to sleep till like maybe like 10, 11, and I try to go to sleep early. But I'm working throughout the whole day. I'm like doing a lot of stuff and running around. So it's not easy, but I would say like I can't complain. You know, I feel blessed.
Yeah,
my bills are getting paid. You know, my son is growing. He's doing well in school. You know, my girlfriend's amazing. Yeah. Even though we fight every so often. but yeah, I mean, it's you know, I feel blessed.
Is there anything else that you wanted to say that I didn't ask or mention?
I guess for anybody that's starting a business or starting some type of new venture, the best way to start is just to get out there and start asking, just like you did. You know, Esteban, you just like hit me up on a DM and was like, what's up, I'm doing this podcast. Or you emailed me and was like, you know, and it takes is that initiative. You know, it's just like, just go out there and ask. And I feel like my mom, you know, always told us as kids, was like, if you don't ask, you don't eat, you know, and that's always been like my motto, and that's always been true.
I feel like that's always like the toughest part, but just taking the initiative is always...
And not be discouraged when people say no.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
I do thank you for being on this podcast.
Of course. Yeah. And let me know when you want to come through. I'll hook you up with a class.
Oh, cool, man. All right. I'll let you know. Maybe like in next week or in 2 weeks. Take care, man.
All right, you too.